Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
A solar energy company called Solyndra makes campaign donations to the right people. It gets a $500 million government loan over the objections of federal budget analysts. It goes bankrupt, costing you and me, the taxpayers, the $500 million. We begin today by asking, what is the Solyndra story? Is it a scandal for President Obama? Here is Republican Congressman Cliff Stearns of Florida, chairman of the Subcommittee on Oversight and Investigations on the House Energy Committee.
Why would the administration, why would the Obama administration invest in something in which two government accounting offices said it was a bad deal, and they were so quick to get this money out the door? It makes you wonder, was the decision based upon politics rather than the viability of this company and doing, shall we say, due diligence on the economic survival? The bottom line is the president, for some reason, is clinging to this idea that he wants to subsidize solar panel industry. It's almost a religious fervor by him to help the green industry develop jobs through government taxpayer guarantees.
Republican Congressman Cliff Stearns. The Chicago Tribune today calls it old-style Chicago politics. Here is White House spokesman Jay Carney on Solyndra's collapse and the green energy loan program in general.
The whole purpose of this program, which has a broad portfolio of many companies that are doing well, was to invest in cutting-edge technologies that, you know, with some government assistance, with some government loan guarantees, would help us establish a beachhead in the vital industries that will allow America to compete in the future. There are no guarantees in the business world about success and failure. That is just the way business works, and everyone recognizes that. And that's why, there are over 40 companies, as I understand it, 40 guarantees involved in this program that merit looking at. There's no individual, you cannot measure the success based on one company or the other.
White House spokesman Jay Carney speaking on September 1st. So, what is the Solyndra story? Is it a scandal? What does it say about the state of green energy and the best ways for government to encourage it? With me for this is Lisa Marganelli, director of the New America Foundation's Energy Policy Initiative and author of the book Oil on the Brain, Petroleum's Long, Strange Trip to Your Tank, and Joe Stevens, covering this on the politics side for The Washington Post. Hi, Lisa. Welcome back to WNYC. Hi, Joe. Welcome.
Good morning.
Hello.
Have either of you ever heard of Solyndra before they went bankrupt? Lisa, you cover energy. Did you?
Vaguely, but I hadn't actually gotten down to the point of sounding out its name and making sure I knew how to say it.
Right, because it's got this funny spelling that I don't even have in front. It's got some H's in it and I don't know what. Joe, have you ever heard of it?
Oh, absolutely. If Lisa had been reading my stories, unfortunately, she would know about Solyndra. Writing about Solyndra, or reporting on Solyndra back in January, when there were a lot of indications that it was going to have a very rough road. And then in June, I and my colleague Carol Lenig did a takeout on Solyndra and a number of other clean technology companies that the administration was backing, and also that President Obama had himself personally visited. And Solyndra had gotten a fair amount of press, actually, although you wouldn't have focused exactly on what they did, in part because the energy secretary, Stephen Chu, had gone out for the groundbreaking for their new factory paid for with taxpayer financing. Vice President Biden had attended and spoken on this massive screen by satellite feed at the groundbreaking. And then President Obama himself went out and spoke on the floor of the factory once it was enclosed and said, this is the future, and praised him for plans to create 1,000 jobs and said, this is the future of our country, of our technology, our energy policy. The future is here. And apparently the future was not there.
At least not in that company, maybe in that sector. And by the way, there are no H's after all. I just looked it up, and it's S-O-L-Y-N, Solyndra, D-R-A, S-O-L-Y-N-D-R-A, Solyndra. What part of the solar energy business were they in, Lisa? I read in the press they make solar panels. So put that in the context of the industry for us.
Well, most solar panels are made with silicon, very thinly sliced silicon crystals, which are actually fairly polluting. And Solyndra made tubes out of a sort of a thin film using a bunch of different metals. So they had a very different technology. They said that their panels were much lighter, but they were also a lot more expensive than the PV panels that are being made by China quite cheaply. And China has risen very quickly in this in the PV world, you know, multiplying its production every year. And then this year, the price of the silicon-based panels fell by about 30%, which was sort of the final knell for death knell for Solyndra's business plan, because here they've been planning to sell more expensive panels that didn't use silicon. And then when the price of the silicon panels fell dramatically, their last sort of wedge fell. But also, there had been a lot of fairly consistent reports from their accountant that there were problems even back early on in the life of the loan.
So, Joe, what was the context of the $500 million government loan that they got, and were there really government federal government budget analysts who said this was a bad idea?
Well, you had a lot of people in industry, analysts on Wall Street, who thought it was a bad idea. They said the private sector is not funding this company to the degree that that they need, so why should taxpayers? Now, that's a philosophical point, because that's also part of the point of this the president's program, is that he wants to fund innovative technologies that otherwise wouldn't get off the ground. But one of the really remarkable things about this is not just that a bad bet was made and the company went down. You know, startup companies go down. But this was the first one. They got the first loan guarantee, and it wasn't a small one. It was $1.5 billion. And so you would think that they were picking the bright, shining light for this sector. And on top of that, they sort of doubled down on it. They personally put themselves out there. The president does not personally go to every company out there that gets government assistance. And he also made references in a number of speeches to Solyndra. So it's even more startling when it goes down. And the administration had supported this, promoted this company right up until the end.
So, Joe, let's follow the money here. To whom did Solyndra make campaign contributions?
Solyndra didn't make any campaign contributions directly. However, the biggest investor in Solyndra, it owns something like a third of the company and also had options to buy, if it went public, 15% more, were obscure investment funds, which were in turn controlled by a nonprofit, which in turn was funded by George Kaiser. George Kaiser is one of the richest men in the world. He's a billionaire. Started out making money as an oil man in Tulsa, then went into financial services. And he has been a big supporter of the president financially. He, during the last campaign, he had a fundraiser in his home and raised money for the president. And he was one of the major bundlers, as they're called, who get other people to contribute. So he also has been to the White House a dozen or so times, according to the White House visitor logs. So clearly he's someone who's close to the administration. Now, he says that he did not, he hasn't done any media interviews, but he says through a spokesman that he did not use any of those visits or any of his access to get Solyndra a hand up.
The Chicago Tribune says a Washington employee who helped monitor the Solyndra loan guarantee was previously an Obama fundraiser. Not that that makes the person unqualified, but if it's campaign fundraisers monitoring loans to people with ties to the campaign, you know, it doesn't sound on the surface like good government rather than patronage with vested interests.
Right. It's enough to raise questions. That particular individual had recused himself from any dealings with Solyndra because of an issue with his wife, who's an attorney.
So he had recused himself?
Yeah, that's my understanding.
So the Chicago Tribune is overstating that, you think?
I wouldn't go that far. I'd need to reread their piece, which I read yesterday. But it's murky.
Lisa, you wrote that the Solyndra saga should really be seen as raising the question of whether government loans are ever a good idea for energy companies. Why would that be a central question?
Well, I think that we have, you know, one of the U.S.'s sort of competitive assets in the world is that we have a fantastic venture capital community that can go out and put money on startups. And if venture capital and banks are not willing to fund things, why should the taxpayer be the lender of last resort? I think there's a lot of other places for the government to step in. It could, for example, give loans to individuals to buy new technology. A recent analysis of energy efficiency loans across the country has found that the default rate is 1-3%. That's a really good return, and you also get individuals and small companies or large companies getting the sort of energy benefits of installing the new technology. But making these large loan or large loan guarantees to startups puts the government in, for one thing, the optics are bad. Even when things are good, it looks bad. How is the government making these decisions? The General Accounting Office looked at this Title 17 DOE program early on and said, you know, how are they making these decisions? And secondly, venture capitalists they're not like you and me. They are people with weird metabolisms that are interested in risk and willing to take both a kind of a left brain, right brain approach to putting money on risky things. And I don't think that government bureaucrats are really set up to do that.
Not only that, you see this role of the government as a tech sector venture capitalist, in effect, competing with the government's more traditional role of funding basic scientific research.
Yeah. We have some very, we have many excellent old programs around funding basic research, ranging from the university sector to things like DARPA and other things in the Department of Defense and DOE laboratories. And what we've seen is a migration of the government's role, sort of migrating towards thinking of itself as a surrogate venture capitalist, and even pushing its labs to make more commercially ready ideas and kind of and we're losing, I think, this incredible core of basic research, which turns up things that, you know, we don't know anything about. You know, some of the dumber things are things like Velcro that came out of the Department of Defense and NASA, and even solar panels themselves came out of a NASA research.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, as we talk about the company that went bankrupt, Solyndra, after getting $500 million in government loans. You and I and all the other taxpayers are on the hook for that $500 million. And we're talking about the politics of it, Solyndra's connections to the Obama administration, and the energy of it. What does it say about the green energy sector in general? With Joe Stevens, covering the politics of it for The Washington Post, and Lisa Marganelli, director of the New America Foundation's Energy Policy Initiative and author of Oil on the Brain, Petroleum's Long, Strange Trip to Your Tank. And people are calling in. Let's take a few phone calls, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. George in Bay Ridge, you're on WNYC. Hi, George.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I think, you know, we're talking about market forces and venture capitalism and risk-taking, but what I'm not hearing is China. China has made a determination that they want to corner solar technology. They want to make it their baby, so to speak. And when American companies, many solar companies, Evergreen Technologies, I don't know specifics about Solyndra, but these companies are being forced out of business because China, not the market, is forcing them out by cornering the market and subsidizing their companies. So this is not a market-driven collapse or risk aversion. This is a government with endless resources cornering a market and forcing American companies out of business.
It is a central question. So, Lisa, you can see the temptation. Instead of abstract research, which you would rather have the government fund, fund experimental technologies at the corporate level that could produce lots of jobs and compete with China and other countries that are aggressively funding their startups in green energy. Why not?
Well, I think the problem is that there isn't the political tolerance for that in the United States. We're not committed to that path. We never have been. We think that's the wrong way to do things. And as the caller says, you know, China has deep pockets. And the other thing is that for China's leadership, providing jobs for a population, I think the equivalent of the population of Australia every single year, is a priority. So throwing money at jobs is something they're going to do, you know, day in and day out, and they're going to create those jobs. We don't have the ability, the political ability to do that. In China, you know, the reverse happens. They get more political stability out of throwing more money at more jobs. But I think that perhaps if the government had maybe looked more at the market side, I understand the attraction of Solyndra was that it was a technology that was very different from what China was doing. It was very different from what the rest of the world was doing, and it had this possibility to sort of hit a segment of the market that this mass product out of China wasn't going to hit. You know, and in a romantic way, you could hope that something would happen with this, that you'd have kind of a steady enough market or something would happen to the price of silicone that would give Solyndra an edge, you know, aside from whatever its accounting issues may have been. So there's a great hope with that. But I think that if we really want to do that, then the government really needs to address the market issues. We need to put a price on carbon. We need to, in some way, price the polluting qualities of green technologies or all technologies. We need to at least make labels on all the goods so that people understand that a traditional silicon PV panel pollutes more than, say, this thing from Solyndra, if, in fact, that's the case. You would need to have a whole bunch of market adjustments. But one of the things that happens when the government's actually offering loan guarantees to some forms of energy, I mean, the biggest loan guarantees go to nuclear. And apparently, the U.S. taxpayer subsidizes nuclear at the rate of about 140% per kilowatt.
So we take
so
a bath
we've
on
got
nuclear.
An artificial price, low price for nuclear that's competing with our panels that we're also funding. So we need to adjust this business of the subsidies and really think about what we want, what the, you know, I think there's a temptation on the part of government to say, okay, we're going to throw money at this thing and we're going to make something happen here. And in particular, with the way that Obama's administration came in with a lot of room for movement in the stimulus bill, they didn't really have broad consensus, so they started throwing money at a few certain things, hoping to get some traction. In fact, you need to look at the whole picture and say, by golly, we're undercutting our solar panels by funding these nuclear plants.
Rick in Manhattan has a question for Joe. Hi, Rick.
Hi. I believe that the support for Solyndra began with the Bush administration, and I hope that'll be examined. And also, one of the investors involves the Waltons of Walmart fame, whether there's an investment group they control or I'm not sure, but they're certainly not Obama supporters.
True on both counts, Joe?
Yes, sort of. The Solyndra loan application for the loan guarantee started during the Bush administration. There were a dozen or so companies were identified as having a chance to get a loan guarantee and were put in full loan applications, and that started during the Bush administration. To say Bush supported it, I think might be a little strong, but this was in process. And then they sort of, when the Obama administration came in, it was handed off. There was later a GAO, Government Accountability Office, audit done and said that after the Obama folks came in, some companies, including Solyndra, were allowed to skip steps, that they were favored, that they were not all treated consistently and made to jump through the same hoops. So Solyndra did better after the new administration came in. Among the investors in Solyndra, the next biggest block of investors is Madrone Partners, which is associated with the Walton family of Walmart fame, although that their ownership is much lower than that of the Kaiser group.
I have 2 minutes left for this. A question for each of you. First, Joe, is this a scandal? And is this an Obama scandal? I know that you, in your reporting, have obtained emails showing that the White House pressed the Office of Management and Budget to hurry up in reviewing the deal, even as OMB officials voiced concern about being rushed. So is this a scandal? Is that the right word to use? And is it an Obama scandal, as in what did the president know and when did he know it?
Well, scandal is not a word I use very often as an investigative reporter, but I don't think I would use that term anyway, because this is a huge problem. A lot of money was lost. A lot of mistakes were made, and that needs to be explained. But for me, a scandal would mean that you do it for your own personal self-interest, and although there's a lot of smoke out there, no one has proven yet that this was done for political purposes.
And, Lisa, what does this say, ultimately, about the president's green energy program and green energy in general? Because we don't want to jump to a conclusion that because Solyndra went down, that solar panels or solar energy generally, even the technology that they used, or green energy, writ large, is not the future. So what does this say about the green energy sector in general? And, you know, there was that quote that we played at the beginning from the Republican congressman who said that, yeah, the scandal here is that the president has an ideological belief in green energy that doesn't necessarily conform to economic realities.
Well, I would say that the president's commitment to green energy needs to be a lot deeper than just money. Not moving on the EPA's new air quality standards shows that he doesn't really see that regulation is connected to, you know, very effective regulation to eliminate problems that cost us a lot of money is really tied to the deep creation of new green jobs. And I think that really with the amount of energy that the world is going to use is going to increase by 53% by 2035. And the estimates are that the fastest growing sector is going to be green energy. The U.S. has to be in that sector. We have to be competitive if we're going to have a manufacturing sector by 2035. So I don't see us as having much of a choice, but we have to understand that it's not just about throwing money at them. It's about a lot of deeper thinking.
Lisa Marganelli is director of the New America Foundation's Energy Policy Initiative and author of Oil on the Brain, Petroleum's Long Strange Trip to Your Tank. And Joe Stevens is covering the Solyndra story on the politics side for The Washington Post. Thank you both very much for having this conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, the Palestinians seek statehood at the United Nations. We will explain how that would work. Stay tuned.